Last week we talked about making a decision to follow Christ. We used Matthew chapter 7 about where Jesus told two ways, a narrow way and a broad way or a wide way. And that's a great decision that each and every one of us must make in order to follow Christ Jesus. But I want to explore now as we think about life itself and we think about daily decisions and how they affect us. And in fact, they are very important to us. You know how some of these things, you probably remember the old commercial about the Lay's potato chips. How many Lay's potato chips can you eat? Well, as many as you can stuff in your face, right? You can't eat just one. Yeah. Well, I want to straight and say to you today, we live in a negative kind of circumstance in our world, and I want to try to impress upon you that as a Christian, that decisions that we make each day are the kinds of things that can help us in our life. In fact, I want to try to impress upon us about the Bible-based decision or biblically-based decisions that one good decision can lead to another good decision. Listening to what they're saying out in the world that, you know, you've made a mistake and now your life is all goofed up and now the next decision you make is probably going to be a worse one. No, we want to talk about making good decisions. I know to all the hunters in the crowd, we're all looking forward to the days that are coming here soon for hunting season to come around. I want to tell you a little Cajun story about Boudreaux and Thibodeau and Marcel and a lot of their buddies. They had all gone out deer hunting together. Late one afternoon, while Boudreaux, he comes walking back into camp and he's carrying a nice buck on his back, and he's grunting and he's moaning and he's sweating, and he finally brings it on into the middle of camp and just sort of thumps it down on the ground. And Marcel looks over at Boudreaux and he says, "Where's Thibodeau, mon ami?" Boudreaux responds and he says, "He back there in the woods a couple of miles. I think he done had him a heart attack or something," he says. Marcel says, "You mean to tell me you carried that buck all the way back to camp and leave poor old Thibodeau out there in the woods?" He said, "Yeah, it was a tough decision. But you know, I just figured that nobody gonna steal Thibodeau." Well, now that's a decision that you might make if you're out there in the woods, huh, boys? Yeah. But we're talking about making the kinds of decisions that lead us to other good decisions. That's what we want in life, is to be able to make the kinds of decisions that help us to live the Christian kind of life. Now, this is a passage that I think you're familiar with, and I love to preach from it. It's again from that book of Philippians where David was reading from this morning in chapter 3. And there is some really great advice to us. In verses 9, 10, and 11, we have, "This I pray," is what Paul says, "This I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in real knowledge." Not fake knowledge, but real knowledge. Now just, I don't know, if you think about when you read some of the things that the Holy Spirit has inspired the writers to give, you can really kind of get into the way it's expressed. Real knowledge. And then he says, "in all discernment." Now, the word that's translated knowledge really means recognition in the Greek. Translated into our English, it's being told to us to be knowledge. But what it really is saying is that we have a way of recognizing what is truth, if you read on. And then he says discernment, which is another one of these words for judgment, the idea of perception, being able to make a decision about what is the very best. Real knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve the things that are excellent. The Greek would say best. The things that are best. I don't know if that changes it for you, but when you're trying to do what's best for your family, that makes sense, doesn't it? Learning to do the things that are excellent. Approving the things that are excellent in order to be sincere and blameless until the day of Christ, and having been filled then with the fruits of righteousness which comes through Jesus Christ in the glory and in the praise of God. Changing your life one decision at a time. You know, if you just think about your life, I'll just ask you this question. You don't have to respond to it, but you can respond to it in your mind. You can think about it. What changed your life, or what caused you to decide that you would follow Jesus? What was it that convinced you that that is the path that I'm going to take? I'm going to follow Jesus Christ. Now, I know that if we were to get responses from each one of us, that we would probably find some similar answers from each of us, while at the same time we would find some probably that were a little bit different. What is it that caused you to want to follow and to serve the risen Lord? When I think about my own personal life, I think about decisions that were made maybe really around a different purpose and yet led me in the right spot to make the right decision about following Jesus. I'll just use the example. I got offered a job in another place. I needed to make more because we were going to start a family. And you know how all of that goes. You're looking for the right opportunity. So when I responded to that opportunity, I had no idea that the person who was offering the job had no real authority to offer me the job. And I got to the place and there was no job. Now, the problem with that was is that we had moved about 200 miles from where we were living. You think, well, now, Bob, that was pretty foolish of you. Why didn't you check that out? Hey, this is my story, not yours, okay? I'm just saying, back off. Yeah, well, I had no reason to doubt this person because I had known that person a long time. Make a long story short was that we got there and found a congregation of people to worship with, and that changed our spiritual lives in a way that we could never, ever begin to think was going to happen to us. But it did. And of course, obviously, I found a way to make a living. I did. I did get a job. And eventually, because we went to that congregation, and they asked me to get up one Wednesday evening and give a lesson, it encouraged me. And the next thing I knew, someone said, would you go to this little town or this little congregation over yonder way? They need a preacher on Sunday. And I did. And the mechanic that Rosemary married, who was a gearhead his whole life, his dad was a gearhead. If you don't know what that means, go look it up. I'm sure you can find it in Google. I said, I'm going to be a preacher. And she said, what? You can imagine marrying a mechanic, and so he says, I'm going to be a preacher. Things changed. That was a decision that we would have never known was going to be for the good. Now, I'm not trying to tell you here, as we get started here, that
that was God motivating me to do that, but I'm personally going to say to you that I don't know how you could leave God out of this picture. Because I believe God knows what He's doing with you, and I believe He knows what He's doing for you in your life. And that when you put God in your life and you start making decisions in your life, I'm looking at a lady back there through the window. Lynn, I just got to say something about you, okay? Don't get embarrassed. Nobody can look at her, so you can't see her. But here's Lena Chenault, who comes to our town. And she and David together, I'm going to give David credit too, but the two decided that they would get in the mattress business. That was a decision they made. Someone influenced them. Well, you all know how much good they've done in the community with that, right? Am I right about it? You said, how many is sleeping on a Chenault mattress? Look at the hands going up. Yeah. I call her Mattress Linda. That's what I call her. And you'll see her on Facebook and all kinds of stuff all the time because they made a decision to sell some mattresses. Whether you know it or not, they have a new location. They now have their own building. They're not renting from anybody. Leonard has saved her money, and they put some to the side, and now they've got their own building, and they have their own place down on South, or not South Main, but on East Main. Am I right? Is it East Main? Yeah, East Main. That came from making a decision, didn't it? And I'm trying to say to you, as we get started today, and you say, hurry up, preacher, and get started, it'll be time to leave. I'm trying to say to you that you can make a decision that leads to another good decision, that leads to another good decision, and you can do that spiritually. Come on! Yes! And the Lord can continue to bless you. Now, you see, some people think that in religion, for example, that we're all headed to the same place. Well, I'm going to say it this way. We all have the same goal. I don't know that the Bible even teaches that everybody's going to the same place. Am I right about that? We just talked about that. There's a wide gate, there's a narrow gate. There's a wide road, there's a narrow road. I don't know what is on, and that really isn't really my business. I'm supposed to be concerned about the road I'm on and the decisions that I make. That's what the most important thing is. And sometimes we get complacent and we just think that, well, we're all going to the same place and it really just doesn't matter what you choose to do or how you choose to do that. But if you recognize what's out here in our world, not all of these things that you can choose to do religiously are going to lead you to the same place. And if you haven't figured that out yet, you need to take a look at some of that. But you can choose, you see, to be chosen. Are you hearing me? You can choose to be chosen. You remember the children of Israel were what? The chosen people. That meant that God chose them, didn't it? It meant that God had a plan for them. And God has a plan for us. God has choices that you have to make. And the old idea that you're okay and I'm okay and it's okay, whatever it is, listen, it's only what God says is what's okay. If God says it, I believe it and I want to do it that way. Because I want to follow the Lord. And you can change your direction. If you don't like the road you're on, and I'm saying if you don't think you're headed in the right direction, you are in charge of it. It is up to you. You can make a choice about the direction you're headed. I'm going to make another statement. You are where you are because this is where you've chosen to be. You know that? You are where you are because that's what you've chosen. And if you want to be different, you're going to have to choose to do different. I know, that sounds pretty simple. And yet, we know that the Scripture is teaching us about making those choices that are the best for our spiritual life. Over in the book of 1 Kings, chapter 3, there is a story related to us. I'd like to just give you that example. In 1 Kings, chapter 3, beginning at verse 5, I think we have these words coming up here, don't we, Wayne? The Lord tells us this story. I don't know what you would have done if God would do to you what He's going to do here to Solomon when He says, whatever you want, I'm going to give it to you. What would you ask for? Think about that. In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon, it says, in a dream at night, and God said, ask what you wish me to give you. And Solomon said, you have shown great loving kindness to your servant David, my father, according as he walked before you in truth and in righteousness and uprightness of heart toward you. And you have reserved for him this great loving kindness, and that you have given him a son to sit on the throne as it is this day. Now, O Lord my God, this is Solomon talking now, you have made your servant king in place of my father David, yet I am but a little child. I do not know how to go out or to come in. And your servant is in the midst of your people, which, as we've already talked about, you have chosen. And a great people, there are too many to be numbered or even counted. That's how many. So give your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, to discern between good and evil, for who is able to judge this great people of yours? And that was pleasing to God, or pleasing in the sight of the Lord, that Solomon had asked this very thing. So God said to him, because you have asked this thing, and you have not asked for yourself long life, or have asked for riches for yourself, nor have you asked for the life of your enemies, but you have asked for yourself discernment to understand justice. And behold, I have done according to your words, and behold, I have given you a wise and a discerning heart, so that there has been no one like you before you, nor shall one like you arise after you. I have also given you what you have not asked, both riches and honor, so that there will not be any among the kings like you all of your days. And if you walk in my ways and you keep my statutes and you my commandments as your father David walked in them, I will prolong your days. I'll give you long life too. Now, if you were going to make out a list, I don't think there's anything there been left out that God has told Solomon that he's going to give him. But Solomon only asked for one thing. And that one thing was that he would be able to tell the difference between good and evil. I want to just ask you just a basic question. Isn't that what we all want to know? I mean, really? When it comes down to the bottom line, that's what we all want to know. What's right? What's wrong? What's good? What's evil? How can we follow the Lord in our daily life if we will but just do these very things. Well, let me give you just a few things here for this morning. Number one, I'm going to say to you that decisions make a great difference and that they are going to affect more your own life. Now, you already know that when you get married, decision-making changes the whole thing, doesn't it? Used to, you did what... That was a pretty loud amen. I'd be careful. Over there, Jim. But now there's somebody else to consider, isn't there? And when you have a family and you have children, I'm not saying that you didn't have family before. You probably did. But most of the time, we try to kind of keep our family separate a little bit and make decisions for ourselves and our own families. Am I right? In fact, you probably left your house when you were a teenager or a young adult saying, I'm going to make my own decisions. And Dad said, well, get yourself on somewhere and get a job. That's fine. Move on out. Decisions, you see, make a difference. And they're going to be the thing that makes a difference in your life. I've told you this story before. I'm going to tell it again because I've told it on Miss Rosemary. Miss Rosemary, she didn't know squat about cooking a little bit, but not much. And she certainly didn't know nothing about farming. She wasn't like me where I had come from. She was a city girl all the way. When we went to the country, to this place where we went to church and all of that kind of thing, she ran into country folk. And this gal that we ran into by the name of Naomi Gillespie said, I want you to come with me and pick strawberries with me. Well, she'd never been strawberry picking before, and she thought that sounded great, and she went. They went several times. Long story short, is that's the beginning, that decision, that Rosemary said, I'll go with you to strawberry picking, is the reason that strawberry jam exists in my house to this day. It exists in some of y'all's house, because Miss Rosemary gives it away all the time. If she hadn't made the decision to go get any strawberries, if she'd just said, no, I'm not into that dirt thing. I'm not doing that. I mean, I wouldn't be eating strawberry. I had strawberry jam, Jim, on my toast this morning. Praise the Lord that she went strawberry picking. That decision affects everybody's life. Now, let me tell you this. Judas, he was a thief. John tells this about him. He tells us that he took away what was put in the bag. I don't know whether you get that or not, but he was in charge of the money bag. And it says that he was skimming off the top. He may have been taking it out of the middle. I don't know. He may have been reaching down to the bottom of it, Travis, and getting some of it. But he was taking money out of that bag that didn't belong to him and been given for another reason. He is the guy who complained about Mary, who used this expensive ointment on the feet of Jesus and said, we should have sold that, go in the bag. Well, I wonder why he wanted it to be sold and money go in the bag. Anybody got an idea? Yeah, you got the idea. Judas, he was a thief. I don't know if you picked this up because this is a subtle detail. That subtle detail is that Judas, we're told by Matthew, in Matthew 26, verses 14 and 15, that Judas went to the high priest. What does that tell you? Well, it tells you that it was Judas's idea. It was Judas who went to the high priest, not the high priest that said, go down there and see if we can get one of those guys to betray Jesus. It wasn't their idea, it was Judas's idea. And he went and said, what are you willing to give me if I bring Jesus to you or point him out to you? I think that's a subtle detail, yet it reveals Judas's character. So our actions, you see, reveal our character about what we do. And I'm going to say to you right now, right here now, before I get any further in to what I'm talking about here, is that I want to warn you that it's not easy to change the basic personality that you've been working on your whole life or to improve your character. Because if you've ever worked on any of your character traits or your flaws and trying to get them to be improved, you'll know what I'm saying. It's hard to get around them sometimes. It's the way you were raised. It's the way you were. Well, you just don't go and flip a switch and now my character is good. You didn't come up out of the water. You came up out of the water and you were happy. And you were glad that your sins were washed away. But it didn't change what you wanted to do. Because you are going to have to make a decision about changing those things in your life. You see, decisions make a difference. And they're difficult to change. Jeremiah tells us in Jeremiah 13 and at verse 23, can the Ethiopian change his skin? Answer to that is no. He can't, can he? Or the leopard his spots? No, he can't do that. Then may you also do good who are accustomed to do evil. He's asking a question. He's saying if you've been influenced to do evil, are you willing to make a change, a decision to change, to do good? That's something that you have to do. It's hard to do. I want to know the difference between good and evil. That's what Solomon said. And then know this, that decisions always have consequences. When Solomon is making a description about the fools of his own age as those who have, because they hated knowledge, he says, and they did not choose the fear of the Lord, they would not accept my counsel. Remember, Solomon was the wisest man of all. People came to him from all on the earth to talk to him or get decisions from. He became known as a person being able to solve difficulties. He said, but these people hadn't learned to fear the Lord. And so they were negative toward his counsel. And they spurned all of my reproof. So they shall eat of the fruit of their own way, he said, and be saturated, if you will, with their own devices. For the waywardness of the naive will kill themselves. Proverbs 1, 29 and verse 32. You see, any talk about harsh consequences today sometimes has a strange ring of being somewhat unchristian. People don't want to hear bad talk. People don't want to hear about bad consequences because you do things. But I'm here to say to you that there are consequences that come when you make some decisions. And they may cause us pain because of it. Some would say, you know, after all, Christianity is the religion of forgiveness. You're right. Christianity is the religion of forgiveness. It's the religion of a second chance. It's a religion is the idea that prodigals can come home and that the blood of Jesus is greater than any sin that you can commit. And that the gospel, of course, is good news. But let me remind you that although sin can be forgiven, consequences sometimes cannot be avoided. I think King David stands out as a powerful example of that principle. Now, what does the Bible tell us about King David? Well, we learn in 1 Samuel that he is a man after God's own... man after God's own heart. And the Apostle Paul tells us later on in Acts chapter 13, quoting that passage, that he was a man after God's own heart. And yet we know he was a man of infidelity. We know that he was a man who was involved in the wrong kind of things. In fact, even if you looked at the life of Moses, you would find that he was even refused entrance into the land of Canaan, or the promised land as it was called then, because of his poor decisions. Decisions have consequences. The Bible also teaches you reap what you sow. Galatians 6 and verse 7 says, "Be not deceived, for God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. If he soweth unto the flesh, he shall of the flesh reap corruption. And he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. So let us not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season we will reap if we faint not." And don't forget, Paul said in that same book, "Have I become your enemy because I tell you the truth?" I'm just trying to say to you, I'm wanting to be encouraging to you about how important decision-making is. It has consequences, and it brings along with it a destiny. Decisions determine our destiny. It doesn't get rid of the consequences, but it helps us to understand where we're headed in life. When I leave Stadium Street each morning, and I drive up usually Shawnee Trail and over to Jacksonville Road and make a left and head up to South Main Street and make another left, I'm headed right straight over to my office. I know exactly where I'm going to wind up. Now, I can take a few different streets, but I know where I'm going, and I know that where I'm going, that's where I want to get. And yet, I'm going to wind up where I always am, in that office. I'm still needing to make some decisions to get there. We're told in the book of Joshua about a man by the name of Achan who took what he shouldn't take, and because he took it, well, look at the consequences. He and all of his family. Well, have you read that story? You should. That's the consequences of a decision. His family was all executed in Joshua chapter 7 because of the wrong decision that he made. When Samson fell in love with Delilah, he gave away the secret of his strength. What was he thinking? Well, you might say he wasn't thinking. She'd already betrayed him 3 times previously. That was a decision that was going to cost him dearly. And he suffered great consequences that could have been avoided. So that leaves us right here. This leaves us where we're going to finish off today. Because I don't want to get off into all these other... I'll do that. I'm going to do that next week. But the deal is, why? I want you to think about it this week. Why is it so hard to approve the things that are excellent? Why is it so tough to do what's best? Why is that? You know that there's only 2 roads in life. There's a good one and a bad one. What's up with the idea of choosing the things that are excellent? Why is it that that's difficult for us as a Christian? Well, I'll try to point out some things that I think hurt us when it comes to making decisions and some things that will help us. But remember that decisions are important. They determine your destiny. They know, or they help us to know what's the difference between good and evil. And I want to challenge you to a better life. To be just like, did you ever when you were a kid, did you ever play with the dominoes? Did you stack them all up? You know, tip one of them and let them all fall. That was pretty interesting. You may have been one of those that got another box of them and you begin to make out some things with some curves. Have you ever seen some of those great things where they touch one domino and all of them begin to collapse? Well, I'm saying to you that one decision, a decision to follow Christ, a decision to live today the way I'm supposed to live, can make all the difference in the world. And it can be done. No, that doesn't mean that you won't make mistakes, but it means you can do it. I want to encourage you with that. Until next week. Making life's decisions. I hope you'll have a great day and a great week. And if we can help you in your Christian life today, we invite you to come while we stand together and sing.